The United States has invested billions of dollars through Operation Warp Speed, a Trump administration initiative to quickly develop a COVID vaccine. The National Institutes of Health is working closely with pharmaceutical companies during vaccine development and testing, establishing the COVID-19 Prevention Network to recruit volunteers for clinical trials. Since August 2009, Dr. Francis Collins has directed the National Institutes of Health. He is known for his extensive work in the field of genetics. I spoke to him about those vaccines up for approval. Who will get them? When will we get the vaccine? And in the meantime, what can we do? Doctor, nice to talk to you, sir.
Nice to talk to you, Greta.
Well, we Americans know what NIH is and we're very proud of it, but what is NIH?
The National Institutes of Health. It's the largest supporter of biomedical research in the world. Basically, everything that the U.S. is doing in terms of research in academic institutions, institutes, and our own intramural program is funded by the taxpayers through this budget. And I'm the director that's supposed to make sure it gets spent wisely. Everything from basic science to clinical trials, diabetes, rare diseases, cancer, and of course, right now, COVID-19. And that's what we are all about, $42 billion a year.
And I suspect that NIH is also working on treatments, new therapies to fight this for the person who does get COVID.
We are indeed, and that's an intense part of how I'm spending my time. And we've made some real progress there. We have the drug remdesivir, which is an antiviral that helps people who are quite sick in the hospital. We have dexamethasone, a steroid that also helps people who are the sickest of the sick in the ICU. And we have monoclonal antibodies developed from people who've survived COVID-19, basically purifying their antibodies that help them recover and giving them to other people, showing real promise, especially if you give those early to high-risk individuals. And we have other trials that are going on right now that may very well yield up other immunosuppressives or antivirals that can add to this. Compared to where we were back in February and March, where we didn't have much of anything, we've now got quite a menu of therapeutics, and survival has certainly improved for people who get very sick with this. But it's still a very serious disease. We've lost 275,000 people, and this is a scary few months that we're looking at with winter time and with the vaccine not yet as widely available as it will be by the summer.
What does the FDA do, the Food Drug Administration we hear so much about, in terms of the vaccine?
So FDA is a sister agency. We're both in the Department of Health and Human Services. FDA's job is to be the regulator. It's to look at some proposed new approach. Maybe it's a diagnostic test. Maybe it's a therapeutic. Maybe it's a vaccine. And to get all the data together and look at it and decide if it's going to be safe and effective. So we generally do the research, try to stimulate this kind of progress to happen, and FDA decides whether it's safe for the public to start to use it in a general way.
All right, so we're waiting breathlessly for these vaccines, and some are farther along like Moderna and Pfizer than others. But once it gets the green light from the FDA, who decides who will get it first?
Well, this is a big day for that. Basically, the CDC has an advisory committee on immunization practices, ACIP, and it's their job to look at a circumstance where you have a vaccine that FDA has decided is safe and effective, at least for emergency use, but there aren't enough doses for everybody to receive them on day one. So who gets first in line? That's a big decision. It will include healthcare providers because we want them to be safe in their frontline experience. And it will include people at high risk, particularly the elderly, people with chronic illnesses.
Well, the vaccines, as I understand, talking to experts, is coming very quickly. What has been the role of the U.S. government to sort of fast-track? Has it gotten rid of some of the red tape, or has it provided more funds? What's the role of the U.S. government?
It is astounding what's been done here, Greta, because traditionally it takes 8 to 10 years to develop a vaccine against a new pathogen. This has been done in less than a year. The U.S. government pulled all of the resources together to make sure the coordination was happening. Operation Warp Speed made it possible also to get rid of some of those long delays that oftentimes vex the process, where you go to phase one and then you have to wait many months before you go to phase two. All of those things were synchronized in an unprecedented way, but not by doing any compromising at all on safety. These will probably be amongst the most highly tested, vaccines ever in terms of their safety and efficacy. And the good news is the first two that are going to get looked at by FDA in the coming weeks look extremely good, with efficacy over 90%, which is better than most of us had dared to hope, and safety record that also looks extremely good.
All right. Moderna and Pfizer, as I understand it, both have something called, or the sort of the science behind it is something called messenger RNA. Are right. they very different vaccines or very similar?
They're quite similar. Basically, messenger RNA is the part of a nucleic acid that codes for protein. And this is a very clever way to make a vaccine, where you basically synthesize that messenger RNA that has the right information in it, inject that into muscle. Muscle goes, oh, I know what to do with messenger RNA. I'll make a protein. And so it does. And it makes the spike protein, which is the stuff that decorates the coronavirus. And those spike proteins, the immune system says, oh, no, you don't, and makes an antibody to them. And it's very quick. That's why Pfizer and Moderna are the first two out of the gate, because the messenger RNA approach can be started almost immediately upon the time the virus is isolated. So it is a new approach. It looks extremely promising. It is going to be transformational, I think, for vaccines, for all kinds of things, because it looks like it's really worked. And this is the first time it's been taken all the way through to these phase three trials and FDA approval.
When I get a when I've gotten a tetanus vaccine, I've since then, over the years, had to get boosters. Do you anticipate that with, or can't you tell now whether if you get this vaccine that at some period, sometime in the future, you'll need a booster?
I wish we knew more about that. Because this is a new virus, we really don't know how durable your immunity is going to be. We don't know for people who got the COVID-19 infection naturally, could they get it again? If we knew more about that, we'd have some sense about whether the vaccine would last for years and years. In the best of all worlds, this will last a very long time. I'm guessing boosters are probably going to be needed. I just hope they aren't too frequent. Tetanus, we could live with a 10-year timeline if that's what it takes, but we just don't know.
One of the issues, obviously, is going to be distribution, and the Pfizer requires that the vaccine be kept so cold, which, you know, the refrigeration, incredible refrigeration. Why is it, if they're so similar, the Moderna and the Pfizer, one needs to be kept so much colder, which is going to inhibit some of its distribution?
Yeah, it's a great question, and a lot of people puzzled if it's so similar. Moderna can just be kept in a regular freezer and can even be in a refrigerator for a week, and it'll be fine there too. But the Pfizer one, it's wrapped in a different kind of envelope. It's not just the messenger RNA by itself. It's sort of put into an envelope of lipids, and the Pfizer lipid envelope is very sensitive to warming up, which is why it has to be kept at this minus 94 degrees freezer, which isn't available in a lot of places. Moderna's envelope is less concerned about temperature issues, and so it can be stable in a more forgiving way. Coming along, I should say, the next set of viruses, next set of vaccines made by Johnson & Johnson and by AstraZeneca, those are going to be also much more forgiving as far as the temperature requirements. The so-called cold chain will not be nearly as demanding for those, which will be great, especially for places that don't have a lot of freezer capacity, like some of the low and middle income countries that are also going to need these vaccines.
Doctor, thank you very much. And thanks to NIH. And, I think the world's very grateful for all the work that all of you do.
Well, it's a privilege to be able to be the guy trying to manage this effort with such an amazing team of dedicated scientists. And we are going to get through this, and science is going to be a big reason why.
The two vaccines being considered for emergency use in the U.S. have some significant differences. Both manufacturers say their vaccines, which require two doses, are about 95% effective. But there are differences. Pfizer BioNTech requires ultra-cold freezers to transport its vaccine, which can last in a refrigerator for 5 days. Moderna's vaccine needs to ship frozen and can stay up to a month in a refrigerator. Pfizer BioNTech says it can produce 50 million doses for worldwide distribution by the end of the year and 1.3 billion doses in 2021. Moderna promises 20 million doses in the U.S. by the end of 2020, and at least 500 million doses next year.